Welcome to the Walnut Ridge Baptist Church Podcast. This message comes from the North Sanctuary. For more information, please visit walnutridgechurch.com. Now here's the message.
Good morning, Walnut Ridge. Thank you so much for being with us today. Everybody tuning in from afar, we are so thankful that you are with us today. Well, have you ever come across that circumstance? That thing that comes across your mind, that kind of concern or worry. Maybe it's an unknown thing on the horizon, and it completely dominates your thinking for the day. I mean, to the extent where you really aren't even able to engage in anything else during the day, because you are so preoccupied with that concern. For me, it can be something as simple as my garage door. I can't remember whether I put it up or put it down, right? I could be out to eat or have gone over to some friend's house, and there's that thing that pops in my mind. Did you shut the garage door? All of a sudden, that's all I can think about. I pretty much render myself unengaged for the rest of the evening, halfway in on every conversation that's taking place. I let this little concern rob me of having part in all of the fun, partaking of the joy. The problem is, most of us have many, many things that are weighing on our minds. So worry has become so much a part of who we are. Worry has become that thing that cripples us through this life. It really does rob us of joy. How do we have joy when there is so much that we are concerned about? If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, we are rounding out our church-wide study of Philippians today. Your Sunday school classes, you're focusing in on the end portion of chapter 4. We're going to roll back just a little bit and cover what we missed out on last week during our community outreach. We've talked about this through this study of Philippians, though. Of all the people that had reason to lose sight of joy, we would think that Paul would be one that would be in the running. Here he is, imprisoned for his faith. Though he's supposed to be out there, he desires to be spreading the good news of Jesus. He is in chains, in prison. He hears about these two back in the church at Philippi who are in a disagreement. That creates another situation. There he is in prison. He knows, if I could just be there. If I could be there with him, I could sort out this dispute. I could take care of this problem. You know, much like me, you know, when I'm out and I'm away, if I could have just been there, I could have peeked out the door to see if the garage door was shut. But instead, he has to sit there. He has to write a letter at this problem going on there in Philippi. But in the midst of all of this circumstance, we hear him say what he does, starting in verse 4. Let's read it together. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. God, I pray for every heart, every person watching on today. Lord, I know there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of concern, a lot of anxious thoughts in all of us. Father, I pray you would speak forth from your word today. Lord, teach us how to be a people of joy, a people who know your peace, even in the midst of this anxious world we're living in. God, we give you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this is kind of a risky thing to ask you to do, but I want you to go ahead and think about those things. Those things currently going on in your life that tend to bring up those anxious thoughts. All of those little intangibles, all those things that are concerning you that you know after we get done here, after you get done listening today, there they're going to be. Think about those things. And then I want you to listen to the words Paul says to us in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Even now, even in these circumstances. Always. I will say it again. Rejoice, he says. Now I want you to know, Paul's not throwing some sort of haphazard solution at us right here. I don't know if you've experienced this, but you know, if you're the one who is riddled with worry in your life, well, how much does it help for someone to come along and listen to your concerns and then look at you and say, oh, don't worry about that. Ah, that's not something that you need to be worried about. You know, where I appreciate and know that these people mean well, reality is this is something that I'm concerned about. And then you coming along and hearing it and then just saying, oh, don't worry about it, that does absolutely zero toward getting toward the root of all of these anxious thoughts. Paul's not doing that for us here. Now, when he says rejoice in the Lord always, there's real reasons behind why that should be the case, why that should be the attitude of our heart. See, I know there's a lot of burdens people are shouldering today. Many of you have financial woes, financial struggles. But you know, to the child of God today, do you realize what a short span it is that you have here on this earth? Pretty soon, you are going to be a resident in heaven through what Jesus has done for you. You and I might stress out over money in the here and now. But very soon, my friend, we're going to be walking upon streets of gold. Gold, that thing that we concern ourselves about here, that's like the asphalt of heaven, right? You know, there's many of you I know that are going through some really tough times when it comes to your marriages. Again, to you, I tell you, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, this life that you're living, this tough time that you're going through, it's going to be about a moment. It's going to vanish like that steam that comes off your coffee in the morning. In such a short time, your heart, it's going to be forever united with God himself. It's like Paul saying, could you just take your eyes off of all of this? All of this here and now, all of this circumstance, all of this worry, and focus for a moment on the Lord. But how do we do this? He gives us some help in this. Let's keep reading. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Lean in, listen to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How do we do this? Well, he gives us the clue. It all starts with prayer. If we're going to be a people full of the joy of the Lord, a people who overcome the worries and the anxiety, the concerns of this life, then we will be a people of prayer. Can I ask you this question? How often do you pray about the things concerning you? I mean, really, how often do you pray at all? Yeah, I've met many people that say they pray, but I've met much fewer who actually do. You know, I have that set of people in my life that I know if there's something going on that I need prayer for, I know I can go to them and they will pray for it. But I also know a bunch of people that if they say, yeah, Eric, we'll be praying for that they actually won't. How much are you praying about these things that you say are causing this worry and concern? Because I'll tell you, if you're not praying about these circumstances in your life, then that's very telling. That's very telling of a couple different things. It reveals truth, not only about your circumstance, but it reveals truth about your elevated view of yourself and your diminished view of our God. See, I'd go as far as say, if you're not praying over the circumstance that's causing worry in your life, I'd subscribe to you that circumstance really isn't that bad. And you probably ought to just put your big boy pants on and go get after it. Go get to work. If you're not praying about your circumstance, think of what this says, this elevated view you have of you. Oh, you think you've got enough in your tank to be able to handle this problem. Or worse, that diminished view of the Father. You don't think he can handle what you're dealing with. I mean, he spoke the world into existence. He's the God who split the sea. But somehow he's perplexed when it comes to your financial issues. He's baffled at these relationship problems you got. Prayer. Genuine prayer. It's typically born out of a place of desperation. Or at the very least, we can say it comes from a place of knowing that God is the only one who is able. He's the only one who is capable of having any kind of real impact on what's going on. See, what I like about what Paul's telling us right here, he's not throwing that cliche Christian kind of thing that we say, well, you just need to go pray about it. No, he digs into it even more than that. He breaks it down. He separates it out. He talks about prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let's look at it. He says, in everything, by prayer. Now that word prayer right there in the text, it has an undertone of worship with it. If you've been to any one of our prayer meetings on Sunday nights, we start every prayer meeting with a moment of silence and solitude. A moment of us getting quiet before our God, inviting him into our circumstance, asking him to be present with us. We spend a moment adoring our God, exalting his name, worshiping him for all his glory. You see, if you find yourself worrying, your first reaction ought to be to get alone with God and to worship him. We like to jump immediately to the problem solving. But what we really need is adoration of God. Seeing his glory, his majesty, that's what you need. Once you know God is far bigger than any kind of giant that is looming in your life, a right perspective, a calm, reverent approach to the Father, that's what you need. with prayer, and then he says supplication. Now that word supplication, that's an earnest and an honest sharing of the needs, the problems that exist in your life. This is the part when you pray, this is the part where you're getting real before God. And let me encourage you in terms of your prayer life with the Heavenly Father. There's no place for half-hearted, insincere praying. You know, too often, and I'll tell you, I've been guilty of this, too often our prayers are so quick and so light. It's like I'm saying, God, I claim that you are the author of my salvation. I claim you're the maker of heaven and earth, but somehow, God, I don't really have enough time to communicate in depth with you on all of this. So here's my laundry list of things that I'm going to need you to step in and handle. Here you go. Take them. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. No. No, friend, let's get a proper perspective of the one we address. Let's get a proper perspective of our... Let's slow down, my friend. When we pray, let's consider the model we see in our Lord Jesus, the way he prayed. Listen to what it talks about Jesus and the way he prayed in Hebrews 5, verse 7. It says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Put forth effort in your prayers. Some spiritual intensity when you come before the Father. Have even the smallest hint of reverence be seen in those prayers. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, with appreciation. Oh, let even the needs that you have be seasoned with a thankful heart. Because reality, there is always reason when we come before the Father, always reason that we be thankful. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Not just the big things, everything. Give him everything. And look at the promise that he gives there in verse 7. And the peace of God, well, doesn't that sound good? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you give your heart over to Jesus, you now have access to the peace of God. And what a blessing that is. This does not mean that now your life will be absent of any kind of trial. It does not mean that there will no longer be difficulties in this life for you. But it does mean that we will now walk with a quiet confidence about us, regardless of whatever the outcome is, regardless of what other people say, because we know this important truth, one that we see at the very end of verse 5, that the Lord is at hand. Your translation might say, the Lord is near. The Father is near. So bring your requests before him. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And what does it say? The peace of God, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You want victory over your worries today? You must become a person of prayer. Paul keeps going. He gives us some more insight. Not only should we be a people of prayer, but we need to be a people who think in the right direction. Look what verse 8 says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He's talking about our thoughts. I've heard it said, if you control the mind, you control the man. I don't know about you, but this is one of those things that I feel like has become more and more evident over the last several months. To the point that if I were to get many of us in the same room and get us together and start talking about things, maybe we brought up the topic of COVID. Just by me sitting back and listening to the group talk, as I listen to you, I promise it'd only take a couple minutes, maybe not even that long, before I would know where it is that you get your news, your source of information. I'd be able to tell what news station you listen to, maybe if you get your thoughts based off social media or some kind of website, it would come out through this conversation. Do you ever stop to think about what it is that's you're allowing to shape your thoughts? You know, people like to fancy themselves these deep thinkers, but very few people are out there coming up with genuine thoughts all of their own. Most folks walk around and just kind of regurgitate the things that they hear. Who are you allowing to shape you? What source is it that's speaking into you, that's shaping who you are? I want us to consider today just how powerful our thoughts are. The importance of the way we allow ourselves to think. Paul knew this. That's why he wrote to us what he did in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Where he says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought, listen to that, every thought captive to obey Christ. Do you want joy in your life? Do you want to be free from worry? Then pay attention to your thoughts. I'll take every thought captive and then press it up against the cross of Christ. He tells us then the kinds of things that we ought to be thinking about as Christians. This long list of whatevers. Whatever is true, he says. Boy, What is that anymore? What is truth? One of my friends, John Brimmer, he dropped some knowledge on us the other day in our Tuesday morning men's Bible study. He said, you know, preacher, I believe worry works. Because everything I find myself worrying about never actually happens. Whatever is true. What if we stop listening to the lies? What if we stop letting the lies of Satan shape us and we started letting the truth of the Word of God do the shaping in our lives? Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure and lovely and commendable, if there is any excellence, anything praiseworthy, think about these things. Get into God's Word, my friend. Get into His Word. For the Christian who fills his heart and his mind with the Word of God will know what all of these things are, these things that are true and honorable and just. I have become one of those people who are extremely reliant upon the GPS system in my phone. You know, if I'm going to watch a sports game for one of my kids and I'm going to a place or a school that I've never been to, I need that thing. I type in the address and off I go. I just follow that thing all through the Metroplex. If you've ever done that, you know, if you're looking at this screen, from time to time, you'll come up to a place where you're looking, oh, does it mean to turn on this street, or is it the next street? And you're trying to figure it out, and pretty soon you pass the place where you were supposed to turn. Well, what happens then? It says it's recalculating, right? Or it tells you, hey, make a U-turn, dummy, because you just passed where you were supposed to turn. See, filling your heart and your mind with the Word of God, it builds inside of you direction for your life. Are you still going to make the wrong turns from time to time? You're still going to miss that exit. But when those wrong thoughts come, right on the heels of them come the voice of God through His written Word, calling you back to His truth. Which leads us to the last thing we'll address. Verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. If we really want to experience His joy, if we really want to live a life free of worry, not only will we become a people of prayer, not only will we recognize and work hard to take captive every thought, but we will also practice what we know to be right. It's hard to live a peaceful life, a life free of worry, when your thoughts and your actions are not lining up with Jesus. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 probably says it best. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. Listen to what that says. The result of righteousness will be peace. Now, I've lived enough life to know that the opposite of that is true as well. There is no peace for the one who is living in sin. This made me think about my oldest, my daughter Paxton, when she was really little. She was first learning how to walk and talk and process things. I can remember one day I walked into a room and she was the only one in there. She was standing in the middle of the room. And I walk in and she looks at me and she says, "I didn't do it." And I knew in that moment, oh my goodness, bless her little heart. Bless her little heart. She has got a heart full of unrest. Because she has done something wrong. She has done something that somehow she knows is against her father's will. See, today if you're operating outside of God's plan for your life, if you're one today who is walking in sin, you know exactly what that feels like. You know, you're always looking over your shoulder, covering up your tracks. You're always wondering, is somebody going to find out the truth about me? You find yourself withdrawing away from other people, from withdrawing from those who love you. See, if we're going to have the peace of God, then the facts that are in our head, being in your head is not enough. You knowing what is true or honorable or pure or just or commendable, that must make its way from your head to your heart and into your actions. And if it ever does, then the God of peace will be with you. Do you need peace today? Are you the one today that's overcome with worry or anxiety? Maybe you're the one today that's walking in sin. You know, Paul encourages us in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ dwell in you. Let it rule in your hearts. Would you let his peace rule in you today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, in the midst of all of the anxious thoughts, Lord, all the heaviness, all the worry, all the concern, God, I pray you'd speak to us today. Lord, use your word. There may be some today that you're calling them. You're calling them to become people of prayer. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for having a kind of mindset where we can do all of this on our own. Lord, let us see you for who you are. You're the one who's able to do abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. God, maybe today it's more about our thoughts. You're calling us now to control the things that shape our thoughts. Lord, forgive us for allowing all of these other things to guide us. Lord, I pray we'd be a people of your word. We'd be steered by its truth. Father, maybe today is a call for us to be doers of your word, to practice what we know to be true, to be right. Maybe what you're doing in a heart today is a call to repentance, to stop operating outside of God's plan. Stop sinning. Turn back to the Father. Maybe the call is to the heart that's never known you, Lord. Maybe for the first time in somebody's life today, you're opening their heart, their mind, their eyes to see their need for you, Jesus. If you'd like to give your life to Christ today, place your belief in him as the one who died for your sin, as the Savior of your soul. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, I believe. I believe in Jesus. Lord, I believe that I've been the person operating outside of your plan. I've been the person that has this thing, what the Bible calls sin. But I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross on behalf of my sin, in place of me, atoning for my sin. Lord, I believe in him, his cross, his death, his resurrection. And I want to place my faith in him today. Lord, we celebrate you and the work you're doing in each heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As always, If God's doing something in your life, in your heart, we sure want to know about it here at Walnut Ridge. And we've created a couple ways for you to reach out to us. One of them would be the QR link that we will show here on your screen. You can click that with the camera on your cell phone, and that'll bring you up to a page where you can connect with us. Maybe you have come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I sure want to know about it. Maybe there's things you need us to pray for you, situations you're walking through. Help us to know how we can better minister to you. Through this time, the way we've been doing our giving is mostly online through walnutridge.org or through the church app. Some folks continue to mail those gifts in or drop them off physically here at the church. I can't thank you enough for the way that you continue in your generosity, your support of the ministry that's happening here at Walnut Ridge. I want to remind you, Sunday nights at 6:30 p.m., we come here at our 360 campus for the prayer. A specific time we've carved out of our week to come before the Lord and ask Him, petition that He come, that He fall upon this place, that He revive our hearts. I want to invite you to come and be a part of that. Well, it's a great night of prayer. It's a great night of worship. And I'd love to see you come alongside us as we continue to plea for the presence of our God. A couple fun things coming up on the horizon. We got our fall festival, October 24th. We got a men's event, the Ribeyes at the Ridge, happening on the 30th. And we got our women's retreat. The registration is open for that. And the ladies' Christmas dinner is coming soon. We got a lot of things on the horizon to get excited about. So we look forward to going through these next couple months with you. My prayer for you today, I desire for all of us to know His joy and His peace. Do we need to become people of prayer? Do we need to control our thoughts? Do we need to start practicing what we know to be right? We love you. I hope you have a great week. We'll see you back next time.